Bismillah, alhamdulillah, you're listening to Today Islam, and we're broadcasting almost live all the way from, where are we? We're Masjid al-Iman, but what city? We're in, still in Astoria, we just moved down the street a little bit, didn't we? Alhamdulillah, and I'm your host Yusuf Estes, the National Muslim Chaplain, working for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, in an effort to try to bring about a better understanding of Islam and the Muslims in the English language. So we have a website called Today Islam. You can go to our website, todayislam.com. And by the way, while you're there, be aware that it's open 24 hours a day and always plenty of free parking. So come on over to the website, check it out, and look for this and other interesting audios and videos that we have about Islam. When you want to go to that section on our website, it's todayislam.com. I got it right that time. /A as in apple and B as in V as in victory. AV, audio video. Inshallah, you'll be able to get that. Now, what we'd like to do is make a continuum of what we started on a couple days ago. And we talked about it yesterday, and we're going to pick up on it again today. And this is the third part in a series dealing with how to explain Islam in simple English language. We talked about in the beginning whether or not this is really an obligation on the Muslims, and we found from the Quran and the Sunnah that it is an obligation on every single one of us. Every single Muslim has to carry this message until the last day. Then we discussed in another series what exactly should we do to attract people's attention in a good way to bring up the subject, and we discovered it's really pretty simple, that all we have to ask them a simple question: do you know why you're here on earth, how you got here, where you're going, and what your purpose is while you're here? These questions will allow them to bring up the subject that they want to know about. We also discussed in the previous program what to do when they bring up subjects like, why do you do the hudud, and why do you stone people or cut off the hand, cut off the neck, and so on. We discussed that the best thing to handle that is to say that all of these things are actually out of proportion to the most important subject. Then we talked about a key, a muftah. We said the key to the whole thing is very simple, and I want to give it to you now. And then we gave them the key to the correct understanding. We said once you have this key, then you'll be able to go forward and you'll understand more about Islam, the Muslims, what we do and what we don't do, and perhaps even more about yourself. What is the key? The key is to explain to them that there really is a God. He really created you, and you really have a purpose. And whoever tries to fulfill his purpose by ibadah or worship to Allah, God alone, then he will be going in the right direction. And so we explained that that's the key to get started. So then we also talked about, with a little bit of humor, we talked, what was the joke we told? Yeah, we said, what happens whenever they ask you questions that are loaded, that are not true? And we explained that you just simply give it back to them the same way. Say, will you answer a question for me first? Yes or no? Is your mother out of jail yet? Yes or no? He said, my mother's not in jail. He said, no. Yes or no? Well, of course, no, because she's not in. Oh, so she's still there. I mean, yes. Oh, she was in jail. No, I mean, yes, she. You see how ridiculous the question is, and yet you're asking me the same kind of question. So let's be honest and realize that your question has a lot of statements in it that may or may not be true. Let's begin at the beginning and talk about the key. The key to the understanding is what? La ilaha illallah. And explain that there is a God. One God. And He has a purpose. And what's the purpose? To do what He wants you to do instead of what you want to do as best you can. We also discussed other religions. We said that actually they say that we're saying that everybody's going to go to hell except us. We don't say that. In fact, we say that there will be Muslims in hell. A'udhu billah. But we know that there will be Muslims in hell. Yes or no? Yes. So we never said it's exclusive, did we? Our book tells us that people from the Jews, the Christians, and Sabians will go to paradise. From our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that people from all the religions can go to paradise, provided what? Provided they were on the original condition, which is one God, serving Him and answering and obeying their Prophet in that time. Duh. Simple as that. So this is something that we went into in a bit of detail. If anybody wants a copy of that, they can just look it up on our website or through other brothers that you might know to get the first two of this series. Now we're ready to begin with the third part. The third part deals with the subject of when people accept what you're saying, what do you do next? He says, I accept, or she says, I accept the fact that there is a God. And then you ask them, are you at least bit in doubt about this subject? Is there any room in your mind to say that, well, maybe there's not a God? They said, no, I'm sure, I'm positive there is a God. Everything didn't come out of nothing. There's a God. He made everything. This is a very good step. This is a key. Very big step. But it doesn't make them a Muslim yet, does it? No, because there's something called concept of God. What is the concept of God? And we spoke about this a little bit. I'll go into a little bit more detail and give you an example or a scenario. Suppose that we're driving down the street one day and we see somebody who needs a ride. So we stopped and we said, would you like to ride with us? They said, yeah, give me a ride. And we go out across country. As we're driving along, we start to make invitation to them, dawah. We said, would you like to know about Islam? We believe in one God. He said, I believe in one God. We said, yes, but we believe there's only one God, and He's not two, and He's not three, and He's not 100, and He's not like, a human being. And said, I believe that. I said, really? And we believe we have to do what God wants us to do. He said, I believe that. He said, you're a Muslim. I am? Yeah. Say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He said, yeah, okay. Wait a minute. Stop the car. Stop the car. He jumps out of the car. He goes running across the field. And when he gets in the middle of the field, in front of a huge tree, he makes sajda. Now, maybe it's shukr Allah. This is something in Islam. We have it. You can make sajda, prostration. You can do that. And maybe he's using the tree as a sutra, a blockage, to keep people from between him and his place where he's praying. Maybe. But when he comes back, we ask him, by the way, what did you just do? He said, well, I told you I believe in God, yes? Yeah. And I believe I should do what God wants me to do, right?
Right.
Well, that was God in that big tree. He wanted me to bow down to Him. Whoops. So we didn't really clarify what He was saying, did we? We thought we understood what He meant. That's why it's important when we explain the message of Islam, when we talk about Allah, that we cover three essential ingredients. The first is called in Arabic the Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, which is what? It means the oneness or the monotheism of God and the worship. Then the second is the Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Now this is the oneness of His Lordship, of His control over everything. And the third is the Tawheed al-Isma wa Sifat. This in English simply means that He is one in His majesty of all of His characteristics and all of His attributes. He has absolutely no partners, and nothing is like Him, and nothing in His creation can affect Him, positive or negative. Once we go into that, and there are many great books on this subject, by the way, in the English language, and you can obtain some of those by visiting our website. So it's time for a commercial, and I'm going to stick it in here right now. If you go to the website at www.todayislam.com, you will find a place that says free. Click on the word free, and you can go and register for free books, Qurans, and materials about Islam and Muslims. We will not accept donations from non-Muslims. So if there are any non-Muslims who go to the website and request information, they cannot donate. We don't accept that. But of course the Muslims can, and that's how we keep going. So now we've ended the commercial, we'll come back to the subject. You like the way I did that? Makes people feel like they're really listening to the show, right? Okay. So what happens next? Suppose somebody accepts this concept of God. They bought it. They went for it. Hey, I like it. Good. That we did too. That's what we bought. We like it too. God is one. We don't have to do a mathematical formula. One equals one. I like that. That's nice. You know, it keeps the brain real clear for better thinking. And they accepted the idea that they need to do what God wants them to do. Well, that makes sense too. And if they were possibly Christian, they'll find actually in the Old Testament, the Torah, the New Testament, the Injil, these same things. They will find the same things. For instance, it's pretty easy to find it in the Torah because the Jewish still have a lot of monotheism in what they believe. But in the Bible, in the New Testament, it becomes a little more confusing because it's mixed up with some thoughts from the Romans and Greeks. But to be specific, I can tell you where it is so you can find it. Because sometimes you like to have a reference when you talk to people that are not Muslim. So in the Bible, in something called the Book of Mark, that's the second book, chapter 12, verse 29, it tells them that the greatest commandment is to know that the Lord your God is one Lord, one God. Okay, that's real important. It says so. That's the biggest commandment. And that you have to love Him with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. Well, we have this in Islam. We don't have a problem with that, do we? Absolutely not. That's what we believe. No sense arguing about what we believe in, is it? The next thing is that you'll find two places in the New Testament where there's something called the Lord's Prayer. These are found in the first four Gospels. And there's a paraphrase that I'm going to give you out of the prayer that said, "Thy," which means your will, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This means you're praying, "Oh God, your will, not mine. Whatever you want, that's what I want." Well, as Muslims, we have to say that. Because that's what Islam actually means. And that's what Muslim means. We also mentioned in a previous program what the word Islam means from the root salama or slim. We also mentioned what the word Muslim means. One who does the verb or action of Islam. He submits, surrenders, and obeys in sincerity and peace to Almighty God. Well, we've covered all of that. And the guys go and say, "This sounds pretty good. I think maybe I need to look into this a little bit more. Is there anything else?" Well, we have 6 and 5. If he can get the 6, he can work on the 5. But the 6 are essential. They're not negotiable. What are the 6? The belief is divided into 6 clear parts that we can look at. First of all, as Muslims, we have to believe in Allah and His oneness, which we already mentioned. Second, we believe in His angels. And what we believe about the angels is that they always do what they're ordered to do without fail and without thought. And they have no free will. And the devil is not from the angels, by the way. He's not a fallen angel. As many of the Jews and the Christians and even some misguided Muslims think. In fact, the devil, Iblis, came from the jinn, another creation of Allah that we don't see. So this is part of the unseen that we have to believe in. So we believe in God, Allah, His angels, And then we have to believe in something called his books. Kutubihi. What are his books? We have to believe in the books all the way back. From the time of Abraham and Moses and all the prophets and Jesus, peace be upon him, and of course the Quran. And if anybody produces an extant book which is exactly from God himself, we believe it without a doubt. We take it with no doubt. Of course, as far as we know, there isn't one anywhere on the earth except the Quran. And our evidence of the Quran is that people have been doing what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. 1400 years ago, he memorized it. Muhammad, peace be upon him, memorized the entire Quran. And then he passed it to his companions, his friends. Then they in turn passed it to the next generation and to the next generation, down, 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 down until today. From mouth to ear, mouth to ear, mouth to ear. We're not talking about what's written. Quran can be written down, yes. But when it's written down, it becomes a part of the creation and it's no longer the mu'ajaza or miracle of recitation or Quran. So today we have over 9 million people who have memorized the entire Quran. And they don't have one who memorized anything else. So when you put that on a scale, 9 million to zero, I don't think you have to stand there very long to figure out which is the strongest, do you? I don't think so. Even if they bring one person, still one against 9 million. If they brought even 1 million, still 9 is bigger than 1, isn't it? It was when we walked in anyway. So what we know is that we have a strong evidence. Now, the next thing we believe in, after Allah, His angels, His books, we believe in His prophets. As Muslims, we have to believe in every single prophet, without exception. That means we believe in Adam as a prophet, and we believe in him as being a miracle creation of Allah. Allah created Adam with his own hands and blew life into him. He was made from dirt. He had neither a mother nor a father. Amazing. What's really amazing is that in the Christian Bible, in the book of Luke, chapter 3, the very last verse, which is like 36, go look it up and see for yourself and you'll be surprised to find it says that Adam is the son of God. It says Adam is the son of God. Not Jesus. This is the book of Luke. It says Adam is the son of God. Now if they said, well, that means that God created him in a special way. That's all it means. Then we'll say, do you accept that meaning? If they say yes, then you say, well, in that case, we'll accept that meaning for Jesus too. Because the next creation of Allah after Adam is who? His wife. Now, did she have a mother? No, she didn't. But she's a miracle. She had only Adam. She came from Adam. A woman came from a man. From his side. That's what's in their book. It's what's in our book. How can you argue about what we agree about? Hello? Make sense? Okay, next. We believe in all the prophets in the most respectful way. We do not agree with anything that claims that the prophets made major sins because this is out of the context or out of style for those who are sent with this big responsibility of calling people to the true way. How could it be that somebody's telling you this is the true way and he's a bank robber or a rapist? Or a pedophile. Or commits incest. All of these charges that I just mentioned have been charged against prophets by those who came before us. But we don't accept that. We say that the prophets, all the way from Adam to Abraham to Moses to David and Solomon and Jesus, peace be upon all of them, and we say that, peace be upon all of them, were of the highest character, the highest moral, and they were better than the average person, and they're very close to Allah. They're so close to Allah, but at the same time, we take Jesus, peace be upon Him, and we take Him out of the status of being Allah and just put Him down of being close to Allah. That's it. So we've made all of the prophets Abdullah. 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 What does Abdullah mean? It means one who is a servant, a slave, or a dedicated devotee to Almighty Allah. And if you look up in the concordance of the Bible, the word son, when it says son of God, and you look up the meaning in the Greek, it means one who is like a nephew to an uncle, or a servant to a master, or even the relationship of sheep to the owner. Sheep to the shepherd. It means what? Subservient. So if you take that meaning and put it as it says in the concordance itself, we accept that. All the prophets are subservient, and they only do the will of Almighty God. And that brings us to the last and final messenger, peace be upon him, Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And did he or did he not do the same thing? Did he not say, I'm a servant, I'm a slave to God? And did he not say that all of the prophethood are brothers to each other? And we make no distinction amongst them. They're prophets. We don't have the right to say anything except good about them. They were charged with a mighty charge. Deliver the message of La ilaha illallah. There is none to worship except Allah. And they did it. They did that. So alhamdulillah, the praises to Allah that He sent them, and we believe in them. Even though maybe today we're having some problem with some Jewish people, we still are not going to say anything wrong about Prophet Moses, Musa alayhi salam. We can't, because we wouldn't be Muslim anymore. We might have some problem with some Christians, but we can't say anything bad about Jesus. We hear Christians themselves say horrible things about Jesus, jokes about Jesus, condemning Jesus, even making fun and gestures that they do. I know, I used to preach Christianity. I know what they do. It's not funny. I cannot even tell you the jokes because Muslims wouldn't accept it. So when we say we believe in the prophets, we believe something about them that even they don't believe, which is that they are high, high people, close to Allah, without major sins. And these are the ones entrusted to carry the message. They are messengers, and they are prophets. And some are prophets and messengers together. These things are explained in detail on our website, so we'll just poke another commercial in here for the website. Go to www.todayislam.com, and there you'll find a chance to look up a lot of topics about Islam, Muslims, the Quran, the Bible, and all of the subjects are there. You can take these subjects and download them, copy them, print them out, distribute them, whatever you like to do. We do not hold copyrights on any of the material that we do. This means it's free. F-R-E-E. Free. And Muslims like free stuff. Right? Allahu Akbar? I knew that was coming. You'd have thought somebody made shahada, wouldn't you? Okay, we'll get back to our program already in progress. What's the next thing that we talk about in the belief in Islam? Well, we said that we believe in Allah and His angels, His books, His messengers, and then we believe in something called Yawmul Akhir, or Yawmul Qiyamah. This is, by the way, an Arabic word, so we need to put it in English. What does Yawm mean? Well, guess what? You find it in the Jewish religion too. Yawm. As a matter of fact, we're real close to the day of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. So Yom means day in the Semitic languages. Arabs are Semitic. Jews are Semitic. Jews cannot be anti-Semitic because they're Semitic. Arabs cannot be anti-Semitic because they're Semitic. These are the same languages, same origins, same sources. Yom means day. Yom al-Akhir means the day after, and Yom al-Qiyamah means the day of standing. These are two different names for the same thing. What we call in English the day of judgment. Everybody will be brought back. That's what we believe. We believe the good news, man. It's good news. Every single soul is going to make it to judgment day. That's great. That's fantastic. That means the Muslims, the Jews, and the Christians, and the Hindus, and the Buddhists, the atheists, the agnostics, will all be brought back alive. Fantastic. Good news. Now the bad news. Not all of them are going to go to paradise. In fact, a large, vast majority are bound for hell. Who are those that are bound for hell? Those who refuse this message. Those who hear it and deny it. Those who deny their Lord, their Creator and Sustainer, will be punished by Him. That's it. It's not me. I'm not going to be the judge. If I was the judge, I'm the first person I would excuse. But I'm not the judge. And even our prophet, peace be upon him, told us that nobody can be saved. There's no salvation except the salvation of Almighty God. And he said nobody gets into paradise except by the grace. Grace. We're saved by grace. Well, that's what the Christians are teaching. The Baptist church is full of people talking about the grace. We call it in Arabic, Rahma. Allah is most gracious, Ar-Rahman. Most compassionate, Ar-Rahim. He's the one who gives you what you need and takes away the things you don't need. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. So, he said, peace be upon him, nobody will enter the paradise without this grace. They said to him, even you? He said, even me. So certainly we have to believe that about the day of judgment. And that brings us to number six. And what is number six? One, two, three, four, five, and six is what? The Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's Qadr? It's fate or destiny. Allah already knows good and bad, everything that's going to happen. And it's all in His wisdom what happens. Qadr of Allah. We believe in that. Some religions, that's all they believe in. And other religions deny it. Some say, well, God didn't really have anything to do with the evil, just the good. So you have to say, well, then where did the evil come from? They say, oh, it came from the devil. So you have a God that's good and a devil that's bad, right? Yeah. And so the two of them are fighting each other? Is that what you're trying to tell me? They go, well, I don't know. Tell them, go to the website and learn. Read about it. It's not very interesting and solves a lot of mental problems for you in a hurry. Okay, that covers it. We talked about Allah and His angels, His books, His messengers, the day after, the day of judgment, we said, and the destiny or fate that Allah talks. So that's the six. What's the five? Five's pretty easy. Hold up your hand and think about it. Five things. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said Islam is built on five. The first one is the shahadatain. This means to bear witness in public to what you believe. If you believe it, say it. Stand up and say, I swear there's no God to worship except Almighty Allah. There's nothing worthy of worship in the creation, anywhere, anytime, any place. The only one worthy to be worshipped is the one who creates and sustains it all. But it's easy to say it in Arabic, La ilaha illallah. So, but they don't have to learn Arabic. We'll help them with the English. The second part of it is called shahadatain. Tain means two. That made four. Anyway, two. And you, then you say, Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadin abduhu wa rasul. Meaning, in English, and I swear that I will adhere to, stick by, and follow the way of Muhammad to the best of my ability as much as I can, which means I will follow the hadith and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for the benefit of those misguided Muslims who think we don't need hadith and sunnah, may Allah guide them and us. Ameen. I just slid that right in there, like it or not. Yep, that's how I operate around here. Anyway, you're listening to Today Islam. We're broadcasting almost live all the way from Astoria, New York, and we're having some fun here tonight. We talked about how to explain Islam to people, how to show them in an easy way, and then where you get stuck, you can refer to the website. We also mentioned the other day, by the way, something that a lot of Muslims have trouble with, and that's saying, I don't know. When you get to a part where you don't know something, say, I don't know. Don't wing it. Don't make up anything, and keep in mind that Islam is very, very adamant about the point of lying. No Muslim is a Muslim if he lies. The lying is not accepted in Islam. Allah does not need you to lie about His religion. He also doesn't need you to apologize. If it's Islam, it's Islam. Like it? Don't like it? Don't matter. It doesn't change. So our responsibility is to learn what Islam is and learn to like it. So alhamdulillah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it as Muslims, and we thank Him for that. And we really, really sincerely ask Allah to guide us and all those that we talk to about Islam. Because the guidance is only from Allah, and misguidance is also from Allah. So, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, you're listening to Today Islam. Visit us on the internet at www.todayislam.com, where we're open 24 hours a day and always plenty of free parking. And in New York, in Astoria, that's important. This is your host, Yusuf Estes, telling you until next time, may Allah guide, guard, and protect you. Ameen.